Good morning, and I greet each one of you in our precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, James, for that wonderful song that he just led us in. In a sense, it is, I think you'll see that there will be parallels between that song and the message for today. Emily and I want to thank each and every one of you for your encouragement, your generosity to us over this past Christmas season. We are indeed blessed as a congregation here being able to minister to you. Sharon, you don't have to feel bad. You get to feel like I feel sometimes sitting in the crowd and a minister up here asks a question and it's like everybody's almost looking at you to give the answer. So in a way this morning, I could kind of feel that already when Kyle said that. I had no clue really what the word meant. But thank you again, Kyle, for that devotional. And that too, you will see, I think, parallels with today's message. I've always wanted to preach from John, and it's about time I got at it. But it just seemed that for some reason or another, it never really came to pass. I know a couple years ago, I was kind of leaning that way and was thinking of doing it, and then Brother Larry started, I think, preach from the book of John. One other time I remember I was leaning that way, and then our Sunday school lessons were all out of the book of John. It's a book that I've always wanted to be able to share from, because it is a beautiful book. John had a way of putting the gospel message into words that I think touches each one of our hearts in different ways. Just as a coin, and this is, I'll be sharing from the introduction to the book of John out of my Bible this morning for a little bit. Just as a coin has two sides, both are valid, so Jesus Christ has two natures, both are valid. The book of Luke presents Christ in his humanity as the Son of Man. John portrays him in his deity as God, in order to spark believing faith in his readers. This book presents the most powerful case in all the Bible for the deity of the incarnate Son of God, a man called Jesus. In chapter 9, verse 11, is also Christ, the Son of the living God. Chapter 6, verse 69. The deity of Christ can be seen in his seven I Am statements, and we will probably be looking at them in depth as we go through the book of John. The first one is, I am the bread of life. Chapter 6, verse 35 and 48. I am the light of the world. Chapter 8, verse 12 and 9, verse 5. I am the door. Chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 11, 25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 14, verse 6. And the last one, I am the vine. Chapter 15, 1 to 5. And all of those are familiar phrases that we have, or verses that we remember. The Gospel of John has the clearest statement of purpose in the Bible. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And that's from John 20, verse 31. The predominant theme of this gospel is the response of either faith or unbelief to the person of Jesus Christ. And I trust that as we go through the book of John, that you will be encouraged in your faith, and that that will transform into belief that truly Christ is the Son of God. And I know we say we believe that, but do we really believe it with all our heart that he is? Not only came as a man, but he is the Son of God. And if you remember, I preached on John, the first part of John, for a Christmas, as a Christmas message before Christmas there, about 3 weeks, 2 weeks before. As I said, the thoughts that I had shared are from my Bible as an introduction to the book of John. Kyle had said, have we broken our New Year's resolution already? Every time I hear of people making a New Year's resolution, the first one I remember coming as a young man growing up was, I am going to quit smoking. That was over and over. People would make that resolution. And they would make that year by year, and I think it was kind of, how long can I go before I break it? But it was probably, that's the very first thing I always think of when I hear about New Year's resolutions. The beginning of a new year brings hope and expectations for our lives, and that's why we make those resolutions. It brings hope that this year things are going to be different. Some of the choices we made in 2017, we desire not to repeat. On others, we hope that we can continue to build. The measure of our success at the end of 2018 will be determined by the choices we have made. If you stop and think about that, that is so true, that the measure of how you feel about your success that you have had will be directly related to and determined by the choices you have made through this coming year. In our search for truth and fulfillment, which is basically what we will do in 2018, we will be searching for truth. Everybody searches for truth. And we will be searching for fulfillment for our lives in one way or the other. As we do so, we will be constantly bombarded by an opportunistic world that is throwing everything at us, that this is what you need to find fulfillment. This is where truth lies. That will be constantly in front of us. The resulting choices we have made will have patterned our lives. And these choices in 2018 will have a predominant theme of either belief, faith, or unbelief. They will fall underneath one of those categories. Every choice you make in this coming year will fall under either one that is made out of faith, believing, or one that is made out of unbelief. John 1:35-51, we have the account of five men who made life-changing choices in their new year. It was the beginning of a new year. And in those verses, we have five men that made life-changing choices. Shall we turn to John 1 and read those verses, 35-51. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have of gathering under your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit being present with us. We thank you that as you take the words of this passage in John 1, and as you speak to each one of our lives individually through these words that we have recorded here of five men who made a choice in their life when you called to them. We pray that as we look at in this coming year, that there will be times in our lives, many times in our lives, that you also will call. Through the noise of this world, we will hear your voice calling softly and tenderly. And we pray that we may be open to hear that call, that your Spirit would reveal your truth for our lives to us. In your name, amen. As we read those verses, you've seen that four of the men are named, Andrew, Peter, and Philip, and Nathanael. And I believe the fifth one was John, who wrote the book of John. These men all made a choice of faith to believe that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. Verse 41, it says, "We have found the Messiah," Andrew said to his brother. Philip's words to Nathanael were, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." They were looking, they were seeking to know who the Messiah was. They were looking for him. Through the Gospels, we see these five men and the rest of Jesus' disciples choosing either faith or unbelief. And you may say, well, they chose to follow Christ. Did they ever choose unbelief? And a good example of that right away is Peter when he walked on the water. And all at once he started to sink. And that is what I mean by the choices we make in life are based on either stepping out in faith believing or they are stepping out and not believing what God is calling us to. That can happen to each one of us. It can happen to me as a minister. There are a number of phrases in this passage that are relevant to our lives today, forcing us to choose between faith and unbelief through this coming year. And the first one we find is in verse 36. And I like this picture where you have John standing there with two of his disciples. And I would picture them as standing on the sidewalk of a street, which I'm sure they probably didn't have. But Jesus is walking down the street, and John makes a statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Kyle said this morning, that's about an aha moment, and that was it. That was it for those two disciples. It was like at that time, all at once, when John said that, they seen Jesus coming. And I think they had maybe seen Jesus before. But at that moment, it was like, yes, he is the Son of God. The idea of behold, the idea of fixing our eyes upon Jesus and believing that he is the Son of God. And that was so true in John the Baptist's life, that he believed that he had been sent to be the forerunner and Jesus was the promised Messiah. Things will happen in 2018, confronting each one of us with, behold the Lamb of God. It happened to two of John the Baptist's disciples as they stood with him as Jesus walked by. Although it may be in this church service today, it may be in a church service, but most likely that will not be the time when we are confronted with that, with the power and work of Christ in everyday activities of life. There will be times as you're going through your job, and there'll be something. Christ will speak in some way, and you will have that moment of faith or unbelief. Faith in believing, behold the Lamb of God. How will we respond? With belief or unbelief? Or with an indifferent attitude, which is unbelief when you think of it? Do we just continue on as if nothing happened? When that happens, it will happen. It happens to me throughout a year. It will happen to each one of you, your lives. Whether you know the Lord as your Savior or not, there will be times that he will speak through others. He will speak as it were out of the blue. And at that time, you will need to make a choice. The two disciples of John the Baptist responded by following Jesus, and as we see in verse 37. And it says they followed Jesus. Does the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ awaken our hearts a desire to know him better, resulting in all other things being second? And that is so true when you go back to these disciples being called by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, for instance, where Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets. James and John immediately left their father in the boat mending the nets. It was instant when Jesus walked back past them and called them to follow him that they immediately left what they were doing. There will be times in 2018 that we will have to choose between what we are busy with or to follow the call of Christ to minister. You will be given those opportunities as one of his servants, that you will be having a very busy day and you will have the choice of being called to minister in some way, maybe to another person, but you will need to drop to make that choice to follow. Jesus responded to them, as we see in verse 38, when they followed him, by asking them, "What do you seek?" It is a question, I believe, that he asks each one of us at times through our lives today. I see the two disciples answering, "Where are you staying?" is what they answered, as maybe avoiding the heart of what Jesus was asking. We also can do the same thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If we are honest, if Jesus would ask us today, and or if I would ask you, even, What are you seeking from 2018? You would probably all say in a church service, well, I want to know the Lord better, or something similar to that. But if we're honest, if we really would share from our hearts, because I really believe the disciples here, they gave an answer off the top to avoid Jesus' probing question, as it were, what do you seek? Do we seek fame, prosperity, good health, or worldly pleasure? Is that what we are seeking, if we're honest with ourselves? In verse 33, it says that we are to seek, or verse Matthew 6:31 states that being concerned with bodily needs and desires only leads to worry. And then verse 33 says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. Jesus invites them to come and see where he is staying in verse 39. And it says that they spent the day with him. Come and see, an invitation to draw close to God. And all our married life, and I give this as an example of just what I believe can be an example of what our life can be like with Christ. Emily and I, throughout our married life, because of her being American and having all kinds of friends scattered across the U.S., we have had people come into our home, family and friends, and they were people that I did not know very well. I had met them occasionally, but at different times when they would come and visit us, and they would stay there overnight. What a transformation as far as knowing them very casually to all at once knowing them in depth as people. When they slept at our place, they ate breakfast and were at our house for several days. And I give you an example of one man, because, you know, each one of us, there's people that, well, I have nothing in common with that person. And I shared that about Paul Emerson already, but this is another man. It's not the same story all over. Emily had friends, Frank and Beatty Bronk, and she had, they were at camp directors down at Rocky Mountain Camp, and she had cooked there. And so I knew about them. I had met them a few times. And Frank was the kind of man that I wasn't sure I was real comfortable with him in his presence. He just intimidated. You know how that is when somebody intimidates you? That's how Frank was. But over the years, we ended up staying at their place a number of times, and they came to our place, and our daughters can testify that they had some of the most wonderful times with Frank and Beatty. But I got to know Frank in a way that when the last time we went to see him, and he was really failing in health, and it wasn't very long after that he passed away, that it was like a friend sitting with a friend. It was so beautiful to be able to, somebody that at one time I thought, but that's what Christ wants from us. That's the kind of relationship. And sometimes our relationship is as casual acquaintances. We know that person. Sometimes that's how it is with Christ. We quick say hi, hello, goodbye. We've done our meeting. But what Christ wants in 2018 is for us to draw nigh, to stay with him, to take time. That's where you grow. That's where you form a relationship. That's where you get to know each other. You know the Savior because he can speak into your heart. When a friend becomes a very close friend, you desire that others also come to know them. That is what happened to Andrew and Philip. They wanted their friends, their relatives, to know Jesus also. In verse 41 and 42, Andrew found his brother and brought him to Jesus, and Philip found Nathanael. After Nathanael's disbelief and his statement, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip encouraged him, "Come and see." Sometimes that's all you can do. You can have a friend that reacts the same way. You can have an acquaintance that reacts the same way as a Nathanael. All you can say is, "Come and see." Even if they react like Nathanael, encourage them to come and see and allow the Spirit of God to reveal the truth to them. May our walk with Jesus give us opportunity in the coming year to share him with others. The last four points I'd just like to leave with you, and they're brief points, but in these verses, in verse 43, Jesus says to Philip, "Follow me." There may be times through this year when the path the Lord has called us to follow will not make sense or be fully understood. He says, "Follow me by faith." For Nathanael, it did not make sense. And we have a picture of that when Jesus says that he was a man who was a righteous Jew. There was no guile in Nathanael, no deceit. "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." It did not make sense to follow someone from Nazareth. But he followed him. He says, "Follow me by faith." For in verse 48, Nathanael said to Jesus, "How did you know me?" And Jesus' answer was, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And in Hebrews 13:5, the last part of that verse, it says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." This coming year, that our Lord Jesus, he sees and he cares for us at all times. He sees each one of us, every moment of the day. He knows where each one of us are. Isn't that reassuring to go through, to look at a new year, knowing that the Lord cares and sees us at all times? In verse 49, "You are the Son of God," was Nathanael's response. May that also be our response through 2018 when we see the power of God moving among his people. And last, verse 50, "You will see greater things than these." For some of us in 2017 has been a year of saying goodbye to loved ones. And 2018 is a new year without them. But those who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior are experiencing greater things than they did here on this earthly journey. And may 2018 cause us to remember that we look for that heavenly home, as it says in Hebrews 11:16, "But now they desire a better," that is, a heavenly country. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." To look for those greater things that none of us can even begin to understand what they will be like when we get to heaven, to our heavenly home. James, would you lead us in a closing hymn at this time?